From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. Today, embryonic stem cells were under discussion on Capitol Hill. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, got a working over from the Senate committee that oversees his department. He had to defend the limits the administration has placed on federal funds to be used for stem cell research. Critics have charged there may not be enough cells that meet the restrictions the president has imposed, and that patent issues could limit access. NPR's Joe Palca has a report.
On August 9th, President Bush set down the rules for what kind of embryonic stem cells researchers could study using federal dollars. The cells could only come from embryos that were created to help couples have babies, but were no longer needed. And there could be no financial incentives to get couples to donate their embryos. And most importantly, they had to be derived before 9 p.m. on August 9th, the hour that the president made his announcement. The administration has consistently maintained that there are more than 60 separate embryonic stem cell collections that meet those requirements, and that all these stem cells are available for research. But at today's hearing, Democrat Tom Harkin of Iowa restated what's been asked many times since August 9th.
The essential question is whether or not there are 64 cell lines, whether they are viable, and whether they can actually lead in the future to therapies.
Secretary Thompson came prepared with an answer.
So far, the National Institutes of Health has identified 64 stem cell derivations that meet the president's eligibility criteria.
But that's a bit of a change. Thompson said there were 64 derivations of stem cells. That's not the same as 64 usable cell lines. Thompson admitted to the senators that derivation is just the first step in establishing a stem cell line. It's the step where you remove cells from the developing embryo, destroying the embryo in the process. The next step is getting the stem cells to grow in the lab. That's called proliferation. The next is characterization, where you test cells to make sure they really are embryonic stem cells. Only then, said Thompson, can you say for sure that you have a stem cell line ready to share with other researchers.
We feel right now roughly there are 25 cell lines established. Mm-hmm. And there are 64 in the various phases, from the proliferation to the characterization to the cell line established.
But Thompson urged the senators not to get caught up in the question of how many stem cell lines are enough.
The only way that you and I are going to fully be able to answer that question correctly is to do the research. Get the scientists in and do the research. We need to move beyond the back and forth over the numbers and get to actual work and doing the basic research on the science.
If there was grudging agreement that Thompson had a point, the senators were less convinced about another question. Could the existing stem cell lines ever be used for therapies? All 64 stem cell lines, whether created in this country or elsewhere, were made using nutrients provided by mouse cells. New York Senator Hillary Clinton challenged Secretary Thompson about whether this would be a problem.
Our government has issued very strict guidelines about the introduction of mouse nutrients into the human material. And we have no guarantee that these stem cells in India or Sweden or anywhere else have followed the American government's guidelines, do we?
We do not.
We do not.
The secretary was more anxious to discuss the good news he brought to the hearing. He revealed that the National Institutes of Health had just signed an agreement with the University of Wisconsin to give researchers working at NIH immediate access to the five stem cell lines the university has derived.
This agreement allows scientists to access these cell lines for their own research, permits scientists to freely publish the results of that research, and allows the NIH to retain its ownership of any intellectual property that might arise from its research using those lines.
Giving the NIH the legal rights to discoveries its scientists make is a major coup. Wisconsin had been insisting on retaining property rights to any discoveries made using their cells. Thompson is hoping the NIH agreement will serve as a model for universities when they negotiate agreements for their researchers to use the cells. Just because Wisconsin is dropping its claims, there may yet be fights over the fruits of stem cell research. The biotech company Geron still holds certain exclusive rights to the Wisconsin stem cells, and that company has shown little inclination for giving away a profitable discovery. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.